Greetings. Welcome to Tony Brew Ministries. Here's an exciting message from God's Holy Word from Psalm 99. The title is, He is Exalted. He gives His angels charge over us, to watch over us. We don't even know the danger that's at hand sometimes, but God does. Sometimes He'll say, pray for Tony. You won't even know what Tony's up against, but God knows it. I may not even know what I'm up against, but God knows it. He knows all about it. I'm glad we have a God that looks after us like that. If you don't know this Jesus that we're praising and talking about and worshiping and shouting and crying, sometimes we don't know what to do. He just gives all the hope to us and we just feel better all over more than anywhere else. And we don't know what to do sometimes, but all you do is just let Jesus have His way. Yes. If you don't know this Jesus that we're so excited about, there would be no better today than today for you to start your journey, to have all of your past forgiven, all of your sins forgiven, and you have a brand new slate to start over with. And He gives you eternal life to boot. That's the best deal I've ever heard of. There was a young lady named Shirley, and she decided to go to church. And she came back so happy and excited. Her family said, did you have a good time? She said, oh, yes. She said, actually made reference to me. Preacher called my name at least twice. They said, boy, if he'd have done me like that, I'd have died. I'm glad I didn't go. They said, what in the world happened? She said, well, he was just preaching and talking and about the cup running over and about anointing your head with oil, and all of a sudden he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And he kept on a little longer and he talked about this man that was treated so bad and they mistreated him and they did all these things to him. And she said again, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely he did it. Surely he did it. He bore our griefs, carried our sorrow. Well, if your name is Shirley today or whatever it is, God loves you. He's got your best interest at His heart. He is exalted. He is exalted. Yes, He is exalted on high. I'm glad that we can exalt Him today. Psalm 99 declares three things about God. He is honored, He is high, and He is holy. He is exalted. This is seen in the first three verses. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. This verse, it says something. It makes a big, bold statement. And then it calls for an action. The Lord reigns. The songs have been written about it. Our God reigns. He reigns on high. All kind of songs have been written about our God reigns. God reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. If God is so high and He's so holy and He's so honored and He is reigning in power and glory, let the people tremble. God's fear and His awesomeness, His reverence is something that our society is missing today. The godless society that we're living in. But God still reigns. He hasn't turned in His resignation. God hasn't retired like some people have to. God hasn't turned in His notice. He still reigns on high, and He always reigns on the throne. He sits on the throne high and exalted. The Lord reigneth. It may not look like He's reigning. It may not seem like He's reigning. The world may not be run like He's reigning. Washington may not acknowledge that He's reigning. Hollywood or Hollywood, whatever you want to call it, may not acknowledge that He is reigning, but whether they know it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, God is still reigning. Amen. He is still in control. He may not be allowed to control everything in everybody's life. If He did, oh, what a wonderful place this would be, millennium on earth now. And it will be that way one day. And there are those who will not turn the controls of their life over to Jesus. The song said, Jesus, take the wheel. He's got to have more than the wheel. He's got to have the universal joint. He's got to have the transmission. He's got to have all of it. Don't just give him the wheel. Give him the whole car. Give him the whole boat. Give him everything. Let the people tremble. The Lord is reigning. Even though many people don't allow him to reign in their life, he's still in control. If you don't believe he reigns, just stop breathing right now. Don't take another breath. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just stop right now. If you don't want God to have control of your life, stop eating his food. Stop breathing his air. Just go ahead and croak on out. Since you don't want to do that, you know that God is in control. God is reigning. He has your breath in his hand. He has your life in his hand. Anytime he wanted to, he could snuff it all out. Through the mercy and grace of God, we continue unto this day. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. God is the only one who can sit between the cherubim. If anybody would even go into that tabernacle, and this is just a temporary tabernacle we're talking about, but if anybody would at least just go in there, in not a place they shouldn't be, they would be smitten immediately and die. Even the priest had to have special care that he would not mess up and die. Nobody could go between those cherubim. God, his presence, God Almighty, is the only one who could do that. He sits between the cherubim in that holy place. The Indians call it the good place, that hiding place that nobody else can go to. He sits between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. And now the Bible says that the earth abides forever. But what it's saying is, because he sits between the cherubim, it's such an awesome thing, it's such a high and holy thing. Let the earth be moved, let it quake, let it tremble. It's like the angels who came into the temple, and Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple, and it says that they spoke one to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it said the doorposts shook, and they moved with the presence of God. And the house was filled with smoke. We're talking about a holy God, brothers and sisters. That's the one that we serve, is a holy God. He's not no game playing God. He's not no bubblegum popping God. He's a holy God. He's not no flimsy, dimsy God. You can do any way you want to, dress any way you want to, be any way you want to. He's a holy God. He demands holiness. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. God is so highly exalted that the place that he lives, I know that God is everywhere in that sense of the word, but where God lives at, it's not good English, but so is good preaching, but where God lives at is the third heaven. And the reason it's the third heaven is because it's so high and holy that no one has attained to it. The Apostle Paul, he didn't want to call his own name. He got called up there and he saw things that nobody else had seen. And he heard words that he said it was unlawful for a man to utter such high and holy things. Ezekiel saw the presence of God and he falls upon his face. And he equates all those visions that he had throughout his life, he equates them to that holy vision that he saw by the river Kibar. And he never got over it. Daniel was faced with the presence of God. Even in the presence of Gabriel, an angel of God, he was so holy and awe-stricken that he fell to the ground and he couldn't hardly regather strength. They had to be strengthened two or three times. An angel had to come to him and strengthen him before he could even continue enough to see the vision to write it down. In the presence of God, it was almost to the point of his death. If it had continued much more, he surely would have passed out of this life and we may not have had the book of Daniel. But he had to be strengthened two or three times before he could even continue on. John had to be caught up in the spirit and see this wonderful heavenly revelation. before he could experience it. You cannot experience what I'm talking about in the flesh. We are in the flesh, we're still in this body, but the anointing covers us and the power of God helps us so that we can stand in the presence of God. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, there's no way that little folks like us could make it and stand in the presence of God. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. God told Moses, I will let you see a little bit, but you cannot see my face. Nobody can see my face and live. We have minimized God to a little thing on a shelf, a little place in the church house. But that's not the God that we serve fills heaven and earth. The God that we serve is high and holy. He is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. We know terrible to us means bad, but awesome. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. In wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Let them praise his great and awesome name, for it is holy. We serve a holy God. Before God is anything, and as much as he is anything else, he's love, he's power, he's grace, but he's holy. This is a holy God that I'm talking about. When you say Holy Ghost or Holy Pentecostal Holiness Church, it's not just a name, and what we're saying is just a name, but it comes because of the holiness of God. Moses said, I feared and exceedingly shook and quaked because of the holiness of God. Isaiah was all stricken by the holiness of God. The prophets were stricken with fear and reverence because of the holiness of God. John even fell at the feet of the angel because of the holiness of God. He wanted to worship. He had to do something. And the angel said, don't do it. You worship God. I'm a fellow servant. I came to bring you the message, but your worship, your adoration goes to God. God is the only one who is really holy. We think about the holy church and the holy saints and the holy brethren, but the only reason that any one of us, anybody can be holy is because he is holy. He said, be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. The only reason we can be holy is because he is holy. The rest of this psalm, verses 4 through 9, gives several reasons why we are to exalt the Lord. The king's strength also loveth judgment. God loves, when it says judgment, we think that's bad, but a lot of times judgment is good. We need good judgment in our nation. Not just bad, but judgment is good because good judgment puts down evil. That's what judgment does. And the king's strength loves judgment. Thou dost establish equity. You want equalness. You want to be treated fair. You want to be treated right. The only way you'll ever be treated right is to come to Calvary and let Jesus change your heart and life. That's the only way you'll ever be really treated right. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Abraham said, will the judge of the earth not do right? Yes, he will. God always does what is right. He executes righteousness and judgment in Jacob, in his people. God will do what's right. If you want to be in on the right side, get out of the left, come into the right, and you'll be right. You're right not because you're right. You're right because he's right and he makes you right. And when he makes you right, it's really all right. He makes you right. It's good to be right with God. I'm not right because I'm right in myself. I'm right because I'm right with God. That's the only reason that I'm right. It feels good to be right with God. Tried to find the word to express what it meant in the Spanish language to be right with God. And a brother who I was ministering to, he just casually said, me siento bien estar bien con Dios. It feels good to be right with God. And I said, that's it right there, that's the word. Estar bien con Dios is to be right with God. It feels good to be right with God. It is good to be right with God. God is the only one who always does what's right. We think that the preacher should always do what's right. He should always do what's right just as much as you should always do what's right. Sometimes we want him to do what's right so we can keep on slipping out and doing what we want to. Wait a minute now, this thing goes all across the board. God wants all of us to do what's right. He don't want somebody to be burdened down and somebody else to have a free Freddy load. He wants all of us to do what's right. It's just as important for the man behind the meal to do what's right as it is the big boy in the big house to do what's right. God is the only one who always does what's right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. When we worship God, we give him the highest praise that we can. We shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We clap our hands and praise God. The highest praise that we can give, the hallelujah that we can give, and we're still just making it to his footstool. We've barely gotten to where his toenails are. And we've just now got to the footstool. If heaven is God's throne, then the earth is his footstool. And sometime when we begin to praise God and worship God, he starts rocking them toes. You better watch out. The earth is going to start rocking because that's where his footstool is. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. He alone is worthy of our reverence, our worship, for he is holy. We used to teach the fear of God in America. One nation, under God, not no Allah God and Buddha God. We're talking about God, God, Jehovah God. This is a nation under God. If you don't want to worship our God, stay where you are. Don't come over here. You don't want to honor our flag, stay where you are. Cover yourself up with your own flag. It's not political. That's just the gospel truth right there, what I just said. God is the only one worthy and praiseworthy of our reverence, deserving of our reverence and our worship, to teach the fear of God. We used to teach the fear of God, brothers and sisters, in public school. To teach the fear of God. Now, if you even mention religion, oh, you can mention a mosque. You can put a mosque over the holy mountain where the place of God ought to be. But you can't mention God Jehovah. If you mention God Jehovah, like the lady gave praise to God, God is the one who helped me to win the Battle of Victorian. God is the one who helped me in my studies. Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The principal circles the Christian part of the speech and gives it to her and said, you need to take this out. That's the kind of godless society we're living in now. But it's because we have stopped giving praise and honor to God. There was a time, and I'm old enough to remember it. If I'm old enough to remember it, I know some of you can remember it. There was a time in my lifetime when we went to public school and we had devotions and praised God, sung songs about God, give the Pledge of Allegiance, and had the flag there, and we honored the flag, and we talked about how the pilgrims really came over here for the right reason and the suffering they went through to worship God. Now they're trying to abolish the real thing of history and turn it into an abomination. That's what it's going to be. When they get through with it, it ain't going to be fit for a dog to eat. God is the only one who is worthy of our reverence and our worship, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. Gives you some examples here of people in the Bible who worship God. You say, well, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to say. Just look back at some old saints that worshiped and praised God. You don't have to make yourself just like them, but take the good things that they did. Pattern your life after someone who did something for God, someone who meant something, someone who does good. Don't pattern your life after a pothead, after some fruitcake on television. Don't pattern your life after that. Pattern your life after somebody who had the Holy Ghost. Pattern your life after somebody who knew God. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel the prophet that called upon him and led the nation into revival. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. He is faithful to his people. That's why we can exalt him. He is exalted because he's faithful to his people. He never will let you down. He never will fail you. He never will forsake you. He never will do you wrong. God's not out to get you money. He's got your heart, he's got your money, he's got everything. It all belongs to him. God's not out to get you. God's not out to do you wrong. God's not out to swindle you out of your goods. God is out to bless you and to prosper you. God is out to make you successful. If God wanted to make you look bad, that would make him look bad. God's not going to do you bad. You got that thing mixed up. You got your wires crossed. Jumper cable done got crossed up. You blaming God for something the devil did. Trying to blame the devil for something God does. God, he is faithful to his people. He hears and answers prayer. It says it right there. They called upon him and he answered them. He spoke unto them in the cloudy pillar. They experienced the power and the glory of God. They experienced the Shekinah glory, the cloud that led them by day and the pillar of fire by night. During the daytime in that desert, it got real hot, and the cloud covered them, gave them air conditioning. In the night, sometime it got cool, and that cloud turned to a pillar of fire, warmed them up, gave them a heater in the night. Whatever you need, my God will give it to you. He's a God that's faithful. He's a God who spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. He speaks to them, and they do what he says. That's why the saints of old were so successful. Because when God told Abraham something, Abraham didn't say, well, let me meet with the board and see what they got to say about it. Let me go see what so-and-so's got to say about it. Now, when God spoke to Abraham, he didn't even say, well, I wonder if this is God or the devil. Abraham had such a relationship with God that the devil wasn't even in the picture at all. He said, this is God talking. I don't listen to the devil. I don't have no relationship with the devil. Christian talking about what the devil said, what the devil does. Y'all listen attention to what the devil's saying, what the devil's doing to them. The devil's on my neck. Devil's on my back. If the devil's on your back and your neck, drop down in the floor and roll over on him, squeeze him. That's what you got to do. Black folks say, shake, 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 shake the devil off. God's giving you power over all the power of the enemy. You ain't got who caught up by Sapphire. You ain't got to lay around and take what the devil does. You've been given power over him in Jesus' name. He can try to kill you in a car wreck and you can come out shining like the sun. Boo! God speaks to them and they do what he says. They don't question about it. Try to measure it out. Well, you know the Bible said, try the spirits. I know it says try the spirits, but when God speaks to you, you ain't got to try no spirit. That's God. They did what he said. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. He forgives us when he needs to and corrects us if he has to. God loves me. He's going to help me. He's going to forgive me no matter what I do. Well, wait a minute now. He loves me. Yeah, he does. And he'll forgive me. But God doesn't have no relationship with nobody who will let him off the hook. God ain't going to let you off the hook. If you love God, you don't want to get off the hook, as it were. You want a relationship with God that he forgives you. You don't want anything to stand in the way. What's that old song? Nothing between my soul and the Savior. He forgave them. He spoke to them. He dealt with them. He helped them through their trials. He helped them through their troubles. Not one of them were perfect, but God dealt with them. He is forbearing. He's long-suffering to us. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He just expects you to do what's right. He expects you to let Him deal with you. He forgave them, though He took vengeance of their inventions. When they come up something, some Tommy Rock something that wasn't right, God dealt with them about it. But He forgave them, and they got right. The thing that the saints of old did that we don't do a lot of times, when they had a problem on the line between them and God, Jesus on the main line telling them what you want, when they had a problem between them and God, they got it right quickly. We let it go on and on and on, try to reason this thing out. There's no reasoning with it. If you got a dead cat on the line, you got to get the dead cat off the line. If there's sin in the camp, you got to get sin out of the camp. If there's sin in your heart, you got to get sin out of your heart. You can't reason it away. You can't make a law. You can't go up into the Senate. You can't go in the House and make a law to make it all right. You can't do it. They can legalize marijuana. You can't even say it right. You know something wrong with something if you can't even say it right. They can legalize marijuana till hell freezes over, and it still ain't gonna make it right. God will deal with us, and if He has to, He'll put the hickory to our hide. Amen. You say, that's bad. No, that's good. If He didn't love you enough to whip you, you would be a bastard, not a son. I know that sounds bad to some of y'all, but I tell you, that's what the Bible says. He loves us. Every son who He receives, that means daughters too, but sons and daughters who He receives, He will chastise you. All of us have faced it. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. We come before God not only for praise and worship, but also for adoration and humility. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Don't be hard. Don't be rigid. Don't try to excuse yourself and justify it. Come before His presence. Come into His presence. You're invited to come. You don't have to be afraid. Come before Him. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. He is exalted, and we're to praise Him. David said, magnify the Lord. You can't make God bigger than He is, but you can make Him look a lot bigger than He is in this world. Just like you, who get a little age on you, can't see like you used to do, take that magnifying glass as big as a saucer, put it over that book where you can read it. Are you making the book bigger than it is? Are you really making the print bigger than it is? No, but you're making it look bigger. That's the way it is when you magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. You're making Him look bigger to this world around you. Father, thank You for the opportunity to be here today. Thank You, Lord, for what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hearts have felt. We thank You, Lord. We know it's better felt than telt. And we thank You today, God, that You have brought us together for this purpose. Lord, take these words from this Psalm 99 and use it to the glory of God. We'll be careful to praise You in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the old time preaching from God's Word from Psalms 99. The title has been, He is Exalted. Make sure that you exalt Jesus Christ today. Receive Him as Savior and make Him your Lord. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.